Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where you stop waiting and you start actually showing up because you were not created to play small. God's DNA is in you and you're built to create, to lead, to evolve. And the parts of your story that didn't go how you planned, that's not wasted, bitch. That's your message. So I want to get into it today. I have Jamie Sylvian in the hot seat. He helps high level professionals break out of corporate identity and build something that they actually own. But we're going to hear his story from him. So, Jamie, I just want to say thank you so much for being willing to come in here on the hot
My
seat.
pleasure.
Every guest gets kind of the first question. I want your elevator pitch and tell us what makes you you. What do you do?
So I work at for 25 years, Brandon. I've worked at a very high level in the corporate world, but I was never a part of the corporate world up from about the age of 20. I have lived. Everyone knows what a digital nomad is. I've been an executive nomad for 25 years. And the difference is, and I can say this because my niece has traveled the world as a digital nomad, is that we don't, executive nomads are different in the sense that they've risen above a level. They've got clients, they've earned an income, they've got a career behind them. But they still have that edginess. They still want to get out there and sort of live somewhere else. And they're sick of the commute and the trains and the meetings about meetings to discuss a meeting and all of that stuff that I thought I enjoyed when I was 20. And realized I hated it when I was 22, but I liked the buzz of the executive world and the corporate world. But bit by bit, I just stopped living that life and traveled the world. And I've been traveling the world forever. I'm currently in Bulgaria in a ski resort because it's ski time. But I was just spent most of the winter in Malta. Before that, I was living in Greece for a while, and then I was spending time. I travel everywhere. My entire business, the Executive Nomad brand, and my consulting business before that, travels with me on my laptop and a decent camera and a decent mic.
Yeah, that's
So it's a
amazing.
very, very, so I'm half executive and half nomad. So that's where the name came from.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of my audience is not necessarily executive. I would say they've never been inside the boardrooms at the highest level. So just for fun, like what is something that you think people would be shocked to know about how the boardrooms actually operate?
All right, this is just between you and I.
Okay.
I work with, as I said, I work with very high level people who are coming out, and these people earn huge amounts of money, right? And when you meet them in their world, they just rule everything. They are confident, they are smart, they are affected, they just know what they're doing. When they lose that badge, if you like, they're a CEO, CTO, they're high level management and above. When they lose that badge, they lose relevance. And it turns out that so many people are so confident, but only behind that badge. By the time I get to talk to them, and this may be somebody who's been pushed into retirement, he's 46, 50 years of age, whatever, pushed into retirement. He's just burnt out because it's just gone crazy for a year, or another company has just bought the company he worked for, and they already had a COO or whatever, and off he went. So they are not untethered financially. They've got good money. They are untethered because they no longer have a badge. They no longer have a thing that's them. That's a really fascinating thing to me, having gone from the first meeting when they took control to the second meeting when they do that.
Yeah.
These are just normal people who've kind of gone on a career path. And very often they reach a point where they say, I know all this stuff, now what? So and going to your first point, Brandon, was about not everybody's been an executive. You don't need to be an executive. You need to know what they want and know how to, give them what they want. And that's the way that I help people build a business that's location independent and borderless. It's simply to say, you've got to find something that executives will buy. And then you've got to package it out and offer them something that they want. But very often it comes from an executive space or a senior management space. They go, I know what I did 5 years ago. I need to turn that into a business and become a consultant or a coach or a mentor or a non-executive director, that kind of thing. But they're just normal people. It's fascinating to watch the transformation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you've seen the power. You've seen the restructures, you've seen the layoff. So, in just my perspective, not being in the corporate world at all, I just thought they had real job security. Like, there's nothing you could do about where they are because they're so high with their label, with their badge, with their title. What's the truth about job security at that level?
There isn't. Well, it's two points there. One, there isn't any. In the corporate world, there are so many companies buying other companies, and you have the COO of a $50 million company, or CEO wants to buy a business. He sees something as a target. He goes after it. He's already got his team. He's already got a COO. He's already got these people that he's worked with for 20 years. When he takes over that business, he has to make some decisions because he's spent good money buying that business. Does he need a 250 grand a year CEO in that business when he's already got one in this business? That's and they might be out. They say, this is your deal. You've been with the company for X years, but we're done. And the second part of that is if they're over the age of 50, it gets really, really tricky to find their way, to find themselves another job at that level of relevance, at that level of salary, at that level of responsibility. And you see it, I see it through on LinkedIn all the time. People are just, they think, now what do I do? If you're 50 years of age, if you think about it, you've got somewhere between 10 and 20 years of real value left into the marketplace. And all of a sudden they're kind of, now what do I do? I saw a post today of a guy who was really high level. He now, because he can't find a job, every morning he goes to his local pub in the UK and he cleans up. Because he needs relevance. He doesn't even get paid for it. He doesn't need the money. He goes every day. He posted a thing on LinkedIn. I was fascinated by it.
And that, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, obviously. And that's why I imagine this is their, it's kind of like a rock bottom in a way we can understand, just because it seems like they, I never would have imagined how much of their identity they're actually tying to their title. So I imagine, like, I couldn't imagine what that would feel like when it's suddenly gone. Like, when you wake up, just like you're, that'd be like me. I'm a mom, right? Like, what happens if I wake up tomorrow and I'm not a mom? And the time, I mean, I guess it never really comes, but it's, yeah, that's wild to me.
It's the only word to describe it is relevance. They say, yesterday my inbox was full. There was people knocking on my door asking me what to do about all of this stuff, and I know it because I've been doing it 20 years, and my phone never stops ringing, and I think, what the hell, by the end of the day. And then today, there's nothing. Can you imagine that? All of a sudden, there's crickets. They have nothing. And there's a kind of a 6 month period where they just don't know what to do. And they think, well, I'll get a job. And then they look at that. And there's people over a certain age, 40, it used to be 50, now it's 40, which is not that far into the job. You've still got even by today's standards, you're 40 years of age, you've got 25 years left, a quarter of a century left of value. And there's a period where they just don't know what to do. And it's that bit, if they get it right, if they say, well, I'm going to go in this direction, they've got direction, they can get their relevance back. Some of them don't. And they just kind of end up, sweeping floors in a pub. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just that this guy was such a high level and now he needs relevance. So that's what he's decided to do. That fascinates me when all that experience has gone out the door with him.
I can see that. And that's, I mean, he kind of dropped the ball on his potential, because I don't know how much you're really serving people in that space and letting everything you are shine. That it's kind of heartbreaking, actually. What is
It's true, but you can imagine him being absolutely beaten up by one CV after another, being completely ignored. Because even humans don't even see CVs. These are read by AI, and they'll pick up something in his AI, and they'll say, right, that's gone because he doesn't fit. So this poor guy has reached a point where all of his experience, all of his relevance, has just sort of gone out the door, and he's thinking, now what do I do? Because I can't get a job. I've never run a business. I've never done that sort of thing. So what do I do? Well, I'll pick up a broom. So
Jamie, what?
it's a shame.
Yeah, what is the biggest mistake that people are making at that point where they're like, when they try to figure out what's next?
It's because they've lived in a co behind the corporate shield. They've had been in a cage, which appears lovely while they're in it, and they're getting the money and the security and all that stuff. They don't know where to go in terms of using their career experience. If somebody says to them, well, start a business, they start looking at franchises. There's no need to do that, and the risk is massive because they're not entrepreneurial. So what they do is they keep on trying to get back into the corporate world, and the corporate world doesn't want them anymore. So the only sensible thing they can do is say, well, what do I do next with what I've got? And that's where I have a part of my framework, which I'll say, let's rewire it. Let's dive into what you did. It's so fascinating, Brandon, to see people. They'll say, well, I was the COO of a business. Yeah, okay, but what did you do? Well, I did this, I did that. And then once you dive into it, they say, oh, there was one thing I did. I saved the company $4.5 million on a post-merger acquisition, field test or whatever it is. I think that in and of itself is a 100, 200, £300,000 a year or dollar a year consulting coaching business. And they say, gosh, and that's how they get their relevance back, just by a conversation that says, remember how good you were there, or conversely, Brandon, how bad you were. I talk to them about wins, losses, and lessons, because if I know something that made a business screw up and lose £5 million, I can charge money so that my next client doesn't do that. So losses are great too, and they get hidden on LinkedIn and such like. People push them under the rug, and I really think that's a mistake. They just should repackage them and say, I can make sure you don't make this mistake.
So that's, I was just going to ask, like, what do you mean by repackaging experience into assets? And now you already have answered what I'm thinking. So that's incredible.
Yeah, so you take, but basically that you rewire, that's part of it. And so you find that thing, then you repackage it and you give it a name, because otherwise you're just a consultant, you're just the coach, you're just the whatever you are. You give it an actual name. So a recent one I did was a guy in logistics who's now the freight site guy. Because if I go up against him, assuming I was a logistics consultant as well, and we both go into the room, he's a consultant, I'm a consultant, we are forgotten the second we go out that door. Because it's just consultants. When he's the freight site guy and he does something that I do when I'm pitching, and he's got a book, and he says, well, I know exactly what your problem is. I wrote the book about it. Here's, look at chapter four. It covers your issues.
Experience.
That fella that's just a consultant's lost. He's lost the game. The freight site guy with his stuff, he's the winner, and that's how he gets his relevance back and he gets his life back.
What is the psychology shift that someone has to make to actually stop thinking like an employee in that space?
Yeah, that's a really big one, and you really do, because these people have been doing it for a long time. I'd say to your listeners and your viewers, that time comes quickly. So use the experiences that you're getting now, use it to build up a framework that when you do hit 40 and above, and if you have got a normal job and you want to do your own thing, now is the time to build your networks. Now is the time to build the people that are going to help you in the next stages of your business. So start loosely planning it. You don't have to buy a new book and get into it. Loosely plan it. What people coming out of corporate are so used to, Brandon, is that when they wanted some marketing done, somebody down the corridor that way did it. When they wanted something into finance or planning, somebody up there did it. All of a sudden they said, well, yeah, I can run a business. Well, you are wearing every hat. Like you and I from an entrepreneurial world, you wear every hat because you have to. And they really struggle with that. So one of the things I say to them is, I show them how to get a virtual assistant because they've usually never heard of it. I say, that stuff that you hate doing, that's who does that. And you focus on being a coach or a consultant. Let me show you that the mechanics of that. Once you've got that in place, just focus on that. And that puts them back into a comfort zone, because they really panic when they think they've got to learn Canva and learn, all of this stuff and Zoom and all of that. So it's calming them down and saying to them, just take a step back, but also have some humility and say, I know I need to learn. Because very often they say, well, I was a CEO of a company. That doesn't matter. You're not now. Now you're right back at the start from the point of view of making something happen. Let's just start from that point and move forward. Once they get that, they're fine. Once they get the hang of that.
And I see that, and I love that you're talking about the different brain space, because I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. Like, I can't be an employee. There's not any part
Right.
of me that's like, I can work for someone else, right? So I know what that experience looks like, but I also know the side of that, like, it's personal development. Like, you can't be an entrepreneur without facing yourself. And a lot of people, especially, I mean, if you're in a corporate buzz world and everything's moving fast, when have you ever stopped to like think about you and how you react to the world and how you interact with it. You're just kind of, I almost picture it like you're just kind of robotic. The switch flips on and you're everything that they need you to be in the moment, but like showing up for yourself, what kind of fears and stuff comes up when they realize they have to rely on themselves instead of a company?
I take it from a slightly different angle. For 25 odd years, I have what's called Remarkable Wednesday, and I teach them to do this, and it's so tough. Remarkable Wednesday is simply this: no computers, no phones, no nothing. I have a it's called Remarkable because I have the Remarkable notepad. And I take a step out of the business, and I just say to them, I just go away and think about stuff. I'm still in the business in my head, but I'm not taking phone calls. I'm not doing podcasts. I'm not doing all the stuff that's part of my business. And they are fascinated by it because they've never been in that. They're in such a reactive world that they say, "Well, how do you do that? How do you just break up?" I said, "Well, first of all, you've got to get the hang of doing it. It's not easy, especially when you're in such a reactive space." I say, if you learn to do that, you give yourself headspace. And also, if things are going right or things are going wrong within the business, and that's the nature of, our nature of being entrepreneurs, there's always stuff going right or going wrong. That's just the way it works. That day, that Remarkable Wednesday, gives you a way to step back, to evaluate without, the phone ringing and all the rest of it and say, "Oh, I screwed up that way or they screwed up that way. Now what do we do?" That kind of gives me it gives me, and then when they get the hang of doing this, not all of them do, I have to say, not all of them can handle it, but they get to get to the point where they go, "That is actually really, really valuable, and I've never had it," because there's always somebody knocking on the doors. They're high level execs, high level managers.
I imagine it brings clarity and just,
That's kind of it.
I'm sure the first one is so uncomfortable though. I think that's probably true for anyone who separates, but I love that idea. I love that idea. That's my Sunday is,
Is
I'm
that, yeah, so yeah.
not doing messages, not I'm done. Like I clock out.
Well, the trick of doing it on a Wednesday is this simple. It just makes the it make it breaks the week up, because you just all of a sudden it's go, "Well, it's Friday already. I nearly had a day off the other day." I didn't. I'm very focused. I am doing the work, but that's why I chose Wednesday.
I love that. What is the pattern that you're seeing when you're working with these guys that, for between someone, what separates someone who successfully reinvents and someone who just stays stuck?
Great question. Right. So what happens is when I go through that thing with them, the first framework is rewiring, they either get it or they don't. So I say to them, "Right, what did you do?" And then we pull that thing out. I told you the example, just something they did, one thing, because all of a sudden something clicks in their mind. Because me coming from, 3 decades of this stuff and saying, "This is what you can do with that," they either say, "Yeah, but I was being paid a salary, I had the security, I had all of these things around me. Maybe I'll just do that again." Or they go, "Wow, yeah, actually." And what is also fascinating, the people who do really grab it, they've got kind of a little entrepreneurial spark, they just need that guidance. Immediately they get that relevance and they get that kind of spark, Brandon, that buzz. They go, Oh, there is another thing, there is another thing." And then they start pulling it out. Their whole mindset starts to shift. And it's pretty universal. It doesn't matter what culture they're from, or, what country they're from. That once they get that little spark of confidence comes back. These are smart people, as I said before. So what they've lost, what they haven't got when they're in the room, if you like, is a direction, is something to sort of grab onto. But once they've got something to grab onto, they do. Very quickly, I'll know, within half an hour, I'll know whether they're going to do it or they're still going to be stuck and therefore looking for a job or therefore not doing it or just waiting and waiting and waiting to get back into, the corporate world if that's what they choose.
Well, okay. So I kind of want to talk about like what your mess looked like before this came your message. And I'm curious about the origin story of how like you structured your life to never be trapped. And so I know there's a story behind that. It's become something that's non-negotiable. So I want to talk about that.
So there's two things. There's two things that happened. One is when I got into the corporate world, I started a little business on my own when I was 18. It was in the art business, and I would just do art shows around the UK. And that all went, it went great until it didn't. And then, the business went bust and what have you. And I had a partner who sort of just disappeared on me and took the money and all of that kind of story that was so horrible at the time, but you can tell it down in the pub now and everyone loves the story because you've moved on from it being a tragedy. But then I took a job. And I realized, A, I wasn't fit for it. I wasn't a fit for being in the corporate world, but having a boss and all the rest of it. But I did like the buzz. So I rose quite quickly to high level manager. And then I just realized I was with people that I didn't connect with once I'd sort of done that piece of the job, that piece of work for them. Then I said, what do I do now? So bit by bit, I felt that I was not in the right place. And I moved around. I got a few jobs, and then I just said, do you know what? I went off to Spain traveling, and I came back, and I decided that whatever I was going to do, I was not going to work for anyone else ever. And about a week after I got back, I had to go to my parents because I had no money left. So they said, well, there's rent to pay. Go get a job. I went and got a job. It's just a temporary job, but I turned that into running my own business. We were knocking on doors. For local authorities, for governments. We were actually knocking on doors asking questions. That was the lowest level job I could think of myself ever doing. But I turned that into a business because they did it so badly. I turned it into a business with 13 offices around the UK because I realized how badly they were doing it and how they could do it, that my first pay went on a letterhead, getting a virtual office address in central London, taking a girl from HR out to lunch and saying, could you get me some data on these people, a list of names and addresses, names and emails. I turned it into a business. And from there, I built that business. I did very well with it. And it really, really went well again until it didn't. Because your business can just be going like that until it's not, until something happens. And in that particular world, simple as this, the government changed. I didn't think that would make a difference. The government changed and said, we don't want to do that anymore. And I said, well, we've got these contracts. You can't touch me. And they said, well, actually, we can because it's a new government. So again, I found myself out with nothing to do. And again, I saw myself disappearing off. But in the meantime, I'd come across a book by a guy called W.G. Hill, long out of print. I've got a copy in my office. And it was called Perpetual Traveler. And it was the precursor to the digital nomads that you have around the world today. And he spoke, it was all so similar, except for the fact that, and this is absolutely true. He said, you don't need to have an office. You can just all do it with a fax machine. That's how long ago it was, Brandon. You can do it. They were talking about that there's nothing, the technology that exists today. So I kept going through this thing and I realized that I loved the corporate world. I enjoyed that, but I hated it once it was done. I didn't want to be in it. I wanted to do the stuff and leave. So over time, I built up my consulting business that I could go in, do it, leave, get paid and leave. And then I didn't have to worry about politics, commuting, worrying about an office. I didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. And that kind of set the scene for me. I realized if I didn't have to be in the office, I also didn't have to be in the country. So I was actually running a business or partnering in a business in London, but I was living in the south of Spain. So I'd fly into London on a Monday morning, do all my work, and on a Friday afternoon, when I used to be going down the pub for drinks after, I actually go to Heathrow Airport and fly back to Malaga. And that kind of set the scene for my life, and I've done it ever since. I don't do like the nomads do, and sort of 3 weeks here and 2 weeks there. I go for a few months. That's my life, and I go and explore the town, and I get to know the culture and all that. And that it's a great life. It's not without its troubles, but it's a great life.
And you're choosing it. That's what makes it great. It's not something you were forced into. It's not something someone else has you doing. It's Jamie saying, this is what I want, and that's what I'm going to create. I think that's amazing. Right now, where are you still evolving and still stretching? Like, what are your growing pains right now?
So the executive nomad brand has become such a great story, not the Jamie story, the executive nomad story, that people are realizing that they don't have to be in that cage anymore. So I didn't even know I was an executive nomad for years. It was never a name I gave myself. It just kind of evolved. But executive nomads are an actual thing. There are people who don't need to be constrained. They've got all that stuff. So I've spent the last couple of years building out this brand. Because I don't want it to be the Jamie story. I want it to be a story that answers the problem of ageism in the workplace that says, You can, a natural step, not look, I don't know what to do with my CV, let's rewrite LinkedIn for the 50th time. No, I want somebody in a bar in America or in Canada or wherever in the world say, you should become an executive nomad. I'm leaving my job, I'm getting fired. You should become an executive nomad. I want it to become a category of its own. That's the challenge I've got, which, and that's a big dream, a big goal to make it happen. So you constantly run as a solopreneur as I am at the minute. You kind of reach this point where you've got to make decisions. Do I want staff to help me with this, or do I do this, or do I do that? So the reason I do all the podcasts is because you get so much feedback coming in, say people saying, I never even knew that was a thing. Where do I learn more? What do I do? And that to me sort of validates the mission that I'm on. As I said, very aware that I don't want it to be the Jamie Show. I want it to be Executive Nomad as a brand. I want people to become that thing. If I can do that in the next few years, then I think I've achieved something.
I'm going to take you to the opposite end of that now, because I'm going to ask
Do.
if everything you built disappeared tomorrow, you have no reputation, Jamie, you have no network, you have no past, do you trust yourself to rebuild it again?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
I tell you why I do, and I learned this a long time ago. I actually did build a company that sold for over £200 million GBP. I made almost nothing out of that. But what I did do, because I didn't know what I was doing, I kind of got into it by accident. What I did do was realize what I was capable of. And then I thought, if I'm capable of that once, I'm capable of that again. No, I don't, doesn't mean I have to do it. Doesn't mean I want to do it. And for years, I didn't want to do it. I would never have a business of that size again. And I would never have partners in that way. But just the knowledge to me that if I really put my head down and get on with this thing, I can do it. And if I have a bad day, then I'll wait till Remarkable Wednesday and I'll sort it all out then.
That it'll be amazing. Where can
Yeah.
everybody find your books? How can they work with you? How can they get resourced with you?
Everything's on executivenomad.com.
Okay, perfect. Jamie, I'm going to tell you what I think makes you special, and it's not just the experience, it's the fact that you saw the system from the inside, the truth of the system, and you chose to not stay dependent on it. You didn't just play the game, you rewrote how it's being played. And now building a movement of helping people who feel stuck, burned out, or pushed out realize that they don't have to start over, they just have to see their value differently. That is a gift, and that is powerful. And I think that makes you incredibly special. And I'm super honored that you came into the hot seat today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for saying that. It's all very nice to hear.
Yeah. And to everyone listening, you guys listen, if you've been feeling stuck, boxed in, or you're just like, I don't know what the fuck comes next. Okay. That's not random. Like, that's a signal. God did not create you to stay trapped in something that no longer fits you. You are meant to build, to lead, to evolve, to create. And that's why I'm calling you to be contagious, to be courageous, to be magnetic. And remember this, your mess is your message. The layoffs, the burnout, the pivots, that's not the end. That's the foundation.
Yeah,
And you
that's
guys,
the message.
yes, that is the message. And I just want to say this because I just think it's so undervalued right now, but podcasting is one of the most powerful tools right now, and almost nobody's using it the right way. Okay. So, you guys listening, make sure you get resourced into my podcast support group because I want to help you simplify it, start it, and actually use your voice to build something real. Okay. Execution. We're not talking about confusion. I keep it simple. All right. So, join the group, get into my arena, and start using your voice. Okay. If this episode hits you, please subscribe, share it. I need you to share it with everybody that you know that needs to hear Jamie's story, everybody that's stuck in the box of the corporate world or in a job that they hate. Okay. But they feel like there's no way out. This is the episode for you. Make sure you get resourced. Jamie's link is in the show notes. Okay. If you're ready for the hot seat, why don't you come tell me why you're special? Again, Jamie, you're a delight. It's a pleasure. You're amazing. I love the work you're doing. Thank you.
Appreciate it.